Amid all the noise in our lives, we take this moment to sit in silence, to give thanks for another day, to give thanks for all those in our lives who have brought us warmth and love, to give thanks for the gift of life. We know we are here on a pilgrimage, but a brief moment in time. So let us open ourselves here, now, to the process of becoming more whole, of living more fully, of giving and forgiving more freely, of understanding more completely the meaning of our lives here on this earth. And so I bid you good morning on this Sunday morning, the first Sunday in May, and welcome you to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. This community says to all people of goodwill, there's a place for you here, whoever you are, however you are, wherever you find yourself on life's path, even when it feels like you might have lost your way. So I invite you to take this moment to gather us as individuals and as a community. Let's take a conscious breath and bring ourselves to this moment and this people, to this space made sacred by our presence here. Let's each of us align ourselves with that which we hold to be of greatest worth, with that which connects us all. And may this simple chalice flame, symbol of our Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist communities around the world, may it remind us of the one light of the Spirit that shines in all that exists. And in our remembering, may we affirm once more our commitment to love, to justice, and to equality the world over. May it be so. We have such a long time to rehearse these stories, as you must realise. But this is the story of a young girl who was walking through a grassy meadow one day on a late spring morning, a bit like today. The sun was warming the earth a bit, though there was still a bit of a chill in the air. And she sees a butterfly caught in a thorn bush, and she very carefully manages to release a trapped butterfly. And the butterfly isn't harmed at all and starts to fly away, as butterflies do. But then the butterfly returns to her, and before her very eyes turns into a beautiful good fairy with a wand, a magic wand. And the fairy says, "For your kindness, little girl, I will grant you your fondest wish." Now, I highly recommend that we all think in advance about what we would wish for in these circumstances, because you don't want to be caught on the hop, do you, and wish for something that you later regret. But this young girl only had a moment to think, and she was very wise. So she replied, "I want to be happy." And the fairy, with her magic wand, leans towards her, waves the magic wand, and whispers in her ear, notice the clever swapping of parts, that's postmodern theatre for you, thank you fairy. The fairy leans towards her, whispers in her ear, waves the magic wand, and then suddenly vanishes. And as that girl grew up, no one was more happy than she. When anyone asked her for the secrets of her happiness, she would only smile and say, "I listened to a good fairy." And as she grew much older, her friends and neighbours did not want the secret to be lost. Please, please, they begged, tell us what that fairy said. And the now lovely older woman simply smiled and told them, the fairy told me that everyone, however secure they seemed, had need of me. That everyone, however secure they seemed, had need of me. And it turns out that we all need each other. And if we have a look on our little green sheet, I will invite you to choose whether you are a upward or a slanting font today. And choose one or the other of these words to say to one another. I've got a spare one if anybody's short. Everybody got one? So this is written by George Odell and it's called We Need One Another. Join in as you will. We need one another when we mourn and would be comforted. We need one another when we are in trouble and afraid. We need one another when we are in despair, in temptation, and need to be recalled to our best selves again. We need one another when we would accomplish some great purpose and cannot do it alone. We need one another in the hour of success, when we look for someone to share our triumphs with. We need one another in the hour of defeat, when with encouragement we might endure and stand again. We need one another to remind us that we share this journey of life as we share the earth, our home. All our lives, we are in need, and others are in need of us. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I think our young people are leaving now for their own program as we move into a time of prayer and reflection. Let's ready ourselves for this time of quietness. As I call on the divine spirit of life and of love to be with us now in this our time of worship. I invite us to give thanks in our hearts for all people in our lives whose smiles and kind words and thoughtfulness help to make our life worthwhile. We might think of those strangers we pass in the streets, our teachers, the people who help us with our health issues or drive our buses, our neighbours and friends and colleagues and family members, members of this congregation. Let us give thanks for each and every person, the living and the departed, all who have brought warmth and richness to our lives. Help us to remember that people need us as friends and companions. May we know when to speak and when to be silent. May we be people who make an extra effort for others, walk that extra mile, send that card or text or make that phone call. And may we cherish and appreciate all the living beings who share this planet of ours and bring us companionship in one way or another. Those birds who are so busy in parks and gardens at this moment. The dogs and cats and other pets that grace our lives. and bring love and good humour to bless our days. And in a moment of stillness now, I invite you to direct your thoughts and prayers towards those you know to be in need this day. Those close to you or those we hear of in the news. May we be forgiving and forgiven when we are ever less than loving to others. When our fears or our tiredness or meanness get the better of us. May we be helped to love and accept our own failings as well as other people's. And may we be inspired to be bigger hearted and kinder this day and all days. Amen.
This reading is in itself a celebration of friendship and friends, who the writer compares to assorted vegetables. That doesn't sound too complimentary, but it is a lovely reading. It's by Max Coutts and it's called Let Us Give Thanks. Let us give thanks for a bounty of people, for children who are our second planting, and although they grow like weeds and the wind too soon blows them away, may they forgive us our cultivation, and fondly remember where their roots are. Let us give thanks for generous friends, with hearts and smiles as bright as their blossoms, for feisty friends as tart as apples, for continuous friends who, like spring onions and cucumbers, keep reminding us that we've had them, for crotchety friends, as sour as rhubarb and as indestructible, for handsome friends, who are as gorgeous as aubergines and as elegant as artichokes, and the others, as plain as potatoes and as good for you, for funny friends, who are as silly as Brussels sprouts and as amusing as wriggly green beans. And serious friends, as complex as cauliflowers and as intricate as onions. For friends as unpretentious as cabbages, as subtle as celery, as persistent as parsley, as delightful as dill, as endless as courgettes, and who, like parsnips, can be counted on to see you through the winter. For old friends, nodding like sunflowers in the evening time, and young friends coming on as fast as radishes. For loving friends, who wind around us like tendrils and hold us, despite our blights, wilts, and witherings. And finally, for those friends now gone, like gardens past that have been harvested, and who fed us in their times, that we might have life thereafter. For all these, we give thanks.
So I invite you now to take the calming nature of that lovely music into a time of meditation. This is it's a short spoken meditation, and it'll be followed by a few minutes of silence, and that will end with a chime from our bell. So I'm going to say a few more words than perhaps usual to guide our thinking, inviting you to consider what it would mean to be our own best friend. And as in any Unitarian activity, feel free to completely ignore what I'm saying and think your own thoughts instead. But I invite you to take a moment, if you wish, to get yourselves more comfortable, perhaps uncrossing arms or legs, or putting down or picking up anything you want to hold on to. And taking one of those breaths that just allows you to feel a little bit more relaxed as you breathe out. Perhaps quite consciously allowing some bodily tension to be released in some way. Enjoying that feeling of our weightedness, gravity bringing us down to earth. And as we celebrate today this thing called friendship, I know that some of us will have memories of a best friend from younger days, or maybe a special relative we were close to, somebody who cared about us and was pleased to see us, someone to share secrets with perhaps, or have a laugh with. And sometimes we yearned for that closeness, but it didn't happen and we felt its lack. And as we grow older, for most of us, it's not so important to have one special friend. But I think that image of a best friend stays with us in one form or another. So I invite you to imagine now, if you will, that you are becoming your own best friend. And imagine that friendship for a moment. If we are our own best friend, then we do not need to rely on someone else unless we choose to do so. If we are our own best friend, there's always someone there for us in the alone times, the challenging times. If we are our own best friend, we have within us a wise counsellor, a companion, a helper. And as we spend a good few minutes now in companionable stillness together, I invite you to think, if you are your own best friend, what piece of advice would you be giving yourself in life right now? What kind words would you say to yourself? What would you congratulate yourself for? Take a few minutes now to think what you would say to yourself as your own best friend. We're at the start of a new month here at Essex Church, and the start of a new monthly theme, relating and relationships. And today we're celebrating friendship. Now, I wonder how you would explain the concept of friendship. It isn't entirely straightforward, really. I suppose for me, friendship is a voluntary association with another. It's not given to us. It's not forced upon us. There's choice in friendship. There's a feeling of intention in friendship for me, some sense of purpose. The Greeks used the word philia for the type of love that is experienced and expressed in a friendship, and that differentiates it from romantic or erotic love, from family commitments, from a wider love of all even. Friendship's got a specific quality to it. And I just cannot wax lyrical about friendship without mentioning its difficulties. Because we need to acknowledge that for lots of us, friendship isn't easy. We know that some of us feel alone in life. All of us at some time in life feel alone. And sometimes that feels like loneliness. And we know that the very concept of friendship is shaped for each of us, isn't it? By our backgrounds and by our personalities. Some people feel easiest with a wide social network, and others are comfortable with a few close people. Some people move really easily and quickly through friendships, from one friendship to another, while others seek a much slower cycle of connection. And at any stage in life, we'll experience the pain that comes from the loss of friendship through physical death, through an ending of a friendship that may feel unresolved, may be very hurtful. So I really invite you to take a moment to acknowledge the pain of loss of friendship, because I think that's there for everybody in this world. And of course, in the world of social media, the nature of friendship has taken on a whole new meaning when with a click of a button we can friend or unfriend someone on Facebook. And I know it's easy, particularly for someone of a great age like me, to start being negative about social media or you know, to say, how could they possibly have 3,500 friends? But, you know, I think social media has made possible the making of truly friendly connections across the globe. And it's bringing people with specific issues together in ways that have never been possible before. It's allowed individuals and groups who were previously silenced to find a voice and a shared strength. And, of course, we realise that that can be for both good and ill. So I wonder what qualities you would say that friendship contains. When I started this week working on a list of friendship's qualities, I kept being reminded of friendships that didn't have those qualities. So that possibly will happen to you, because friendship in truth comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes, doesn't it? But I do think a friendship for me has a basis of honesty, whatever that blooming means. I don't want to be nice all the time. I'd rather be real. And I think along with that, friendship needs to have trust as one of its cornerstones. But again, what does that mean? And for me, that doesn't mean that a friendship is safe all the time, because, well, I need connections that have some challenge in them, and challenge can be very uncomfortable, can't it? Perhaps the element of trust in a friendship is in knowing that this person has our best interests at heart. Would that express it in some way? A friendship needs to have mutuality in it for me. Not that everything is always equal, but that over time there is some kind of give and take that balances it up. If I'm always the caregiver, or I'm always being looked after in a relationship, I think it can topple over for me. So I've got a bit of a seesaw image of over time there will be a rebalancing. And then I thought of three words beginning with C. connection, commitment, and companionship. Friendship, like any human relationship, is formed by connection. And that may take many different shapes, mightn't it? There are good friends who have never met in physical life. There are friends who live together. There are friends who can pick up a relationship happily again after a very long absence. But friendship requires a conscious commitment to one another. It involves a choosing, a reaching out towards someone, and a singling out in some way of the object of our affection, and a willingness to sit and converse together, to make those arrangements to meet and to find shared activities that can bring us together. Friendship involves companionship, and what a descriptive word companionship is. When we advertised this service, we included a quotation from French writer Albert Camus. He wrote, "Don't walk behind me because I may not lead, and don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Just walk beside me and be my friend." Well, I think that walking alongside someone on life's journey is a fine description of friendship. And it's a helpful reminder that on this path of life, there will be times when we need that helping hand, and then will be times when we can be the helping hand to another. As we think of friendship's qualities, there is for me an overarching, or maybe an underpinning quality, which we'd probably each explain in different words, but I'd call it spiritual intent, or a sense of higher purpose. Something greater is being touched, is being activated through the love of friends. In relational theology, you might say that we're encountering the divine in our connections with others. I don't know if that resonates with you. And relationships that have this spiritual connection hold the potential to be generative, to create something greater, I think, for the wider community. And they hold the potential to be transformative. To friendships change us, don't they, if we stick around for long enough. They're a container, if you like, for our personal growth, for our development. A friendship may last for a few months or for a lifetime, yet it is always containing that possibility for transformation within it. And of course, at this level, this spiritual level, friendship reminds us that though this world may seem a lonely place at times, yet we're never alone, because we are connected to something far greater than ourselves. And at this level, friendship is a most useful place for us to discover a better sense of who we are, the unique individual that we are, as we see ourselves in one another, as we view ourselves through another's eyes. So friendship, surprise, surprise, like all human endeavours, it can be messy, imperfect, endlessly complex and varied. It may be a connection with another human being. It may connect us with the animals we share our planet Earth home with. It may connect us with our planet itself, as the name of that charity, Friends of the Earth, reminds us. And what does our Earth need more now than friendly relationships, one with another? Those open-hearted, generous, kindly, caring, feeling well-disposed to all who we view as other. Developing our ability to see ourselves in others and remembering how much others need us as we need them. Then truly we can celebrate our world and its many versions of this thing called friendship. Amen. Robert T. Weston writes that there is a living web that runs through us to all the universe, linking us each with each and through all life onto the distant stars. So let us, in the week ahead, treat our connections one with another with the greatest of tenderness, remembering that secret that we are each in need of one another. Amen.
Amen.
Go well and blessed be.
This is a duet. Some of you may recognize it from a musical called Gigi, which is produced by Lerner and Lowe. And this is an oldish couple reminiscing. Sorry, Mark, this may be our apotheosis. Reminiscing about the first time that they met. Brilliant sky.